Hey,
Oh, hi. Welcome to season eight.
season eight, everybody. Season
Season
ocho.
eight. It's a whole new season, a whole new vibe.
Because why?
Because, well, I'm going to explain it all, but
Oh,
we're getting
okay.
back to our roots. We're getting
Okay.
back to our roots.
Sounds good.
And so it's a whole new season.
I think everybody needs to know that we connected on the first go. It didn't take
Oh,
seven times.
I didn't even notice. Why so lucky us?
Well, we just had a Libra full moon
Oh,
eclipse.
yes. Wait, is the full moon tonight?
It was last night, but it lasts for 3 days,
Oh,
but technically it was
okay.
last night. But the
Thank
eclipse,
you. Wait, did the eclipse already happen?
the lunar eclipse did, not the solar.
Oh, I just, whenever people post about that, I'm like, I just don't have time. That's none of my business. You know what I mean?
I do. But we're in eclipse season, baby. So things gonna get crazy. Season
People
eight.
are like, are you going to watch? It's not going to happen for a long time. And I'm just, that's none of my business. It's just none of my business.
Okay,
So
well,
we have,
with season eight, what are we revisiting?
well, before we get into why it's season eight, we have a quick thing to discuss. We were discussing over text, and I've been waiting for you for 33 minutes. So I was like, let's just discuss it on the air. So we're getting rid of Chantilly things and stuff. Because it never made sense.
I mean, it did to me, but that's okay.
I
Okay,
know,
yeah.
but it did not to anybody else.
I know. Moving on.
So I thought in season eight we were just going back to classic women's work,
Yeah, but I don't
which was
want to.
just, but you don't like women's work. Okay.
I don't. It's not a funny joke right now with all the Sister Danis stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because my thing, I just feel like when I re-listened to last week's episode, I just feel like the bagels and horrors of it all, I felt like I was forcing it a little bit. It wasn't just the business of the pod. I was talking about this is your basic brown and beige meal. Like that was boring. No one
Okay.
needed to hear that because I
Okay.
felt like I had to come up with like good things and bad things. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And I feel like the intro was way too long last week and I interrupted you way too much. So I
Okay.
apologize for that.
Okay.
So I just think we need to get back to our roots, which is more just like, how are you? What's going on? Little business of the pod, onto the sode. You know
Yeah.
what I mean?
So what should we call that is our question for you all, right?
Because not women's work because of Sister Doobie.
We could call it, let's clean out the fridge.
What if we called it yard work? So it's like men's work.
Just as bad. Let's sit on it. But
Let's
anyway,
sit on it. Let's
here's
sit
the
on it. That's what
haps.
your mom said.
Here's the haps is what we'll say for
Okay.
tonight.
Here's the haps. And then I'll explain why it's season eight and why we're getting back to our roots.
Okay, do you want to do the haps first or why?
Let's do some haps. Yeah, what's the haps?
Well, the haps. Well, I just spent like 6 hours with my classmates, with some of my classmates. So we have spring break right now. And I would say half of them went home to wherever the fuck they're from. And
Right.
then three of my classmates who also did not go to their respective homes, we got together today for some Korean barbecue. And
Delicious.
then we walked around the Salesforce Park to
Cute.
with C. Jane, remember?
Is that the one? Okay, that's the one that's like elevated that we went to.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we stopped off at a bar and had a drink and we just talked shit. It
Delightful.
was
How was the
delightful.
Korean barbecue?
It was great. It was great. It's not something I would want to eat often, because it's so elaborate and it's so much. They just bring you all this
Yeah.
meat.
Well, and you're racist, famously.
My God.
Just kidding, just kidding.
Okay. And then I have a couple more haps, but what do you have? Anything?
Well, my, yeah, so some of this is related to season eight, but I have officially come out of the closet as a podcaster.
Yes. Okay, explain
Did
what
you
that
remember that
means.
that had happened?
I forgot until just now, but the day happened, I was all a buzz in my heart.
So I don't know what, so as, I mean, as people may know, I sort of famously have not been very, I mean, obviously I know a lot of you have like figured out who I am and follow me on Instagram and whatever, but I, you know, I try not to use my regular name on here, and I have never promoted the podcast on like my own social media.
Right.
You know, I've just kind of kept it separate. And part of that was fear of like my mom listening, or just even like people I work with listening. You know, I talk about a lot of like really personal things on here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know what happened last week. I mean, it was kind of last week's episode and kind of the feedback that we got from our producer about it. And that will get into the season 8 stuff. But like, I just was sort of like, oh, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't care. And like, it's not like I sent the episode to my mom or something. It was like, listen to this.
Oh, right.
But I did just, I mean, and really by coming out, I like posted it on Instagram. So
that's it.
Anyone who doesn't use or follow me on Instagram would have no idea. So like, you know, I don't think my mom even saw it, you know?
But right, right.
I think most of my Mormon siblings have me muted on Instagram. So I don't think any of them saw it. But yeah, I basically was just like, hey, I have a podcast. I've had it actually since like 2018. I don't really talk about it. It's very, very graphic. So if you're easily offended, please don't listen.
Yeah.
And then I shared some favorite episodes.
Yep. You sure did. And in our text group with Becky with a CK for Aspera Jewelry,
right,
we were talking about some jewelry stuff. And then she randomly asked, have you heard from Mama Co yet?
No, right. Well, and the funny thing is, when I texted, I kind of jokingly, because we have a text thread in with my siblings of those of us who are no longer members of the church, you know, the siblings that are out of the church.
Yeah.
And it's called the Outer Darkness Coffees.
Yeah.
And I texted and I just said, I just said, let's hope mom's not on Instagram for the next 24 hours. And then people were like, oh my God, is Linda the last person who doesn't know? I mean, Mary Jo Coco. Oh. And I said, I just said, I mean, if she does see it, oh well, she'll make Becky with a CK explain it to her, which is what will happen. If she ever finds out about it, she won't approach me about it.
I see.
She'll approach Becky with a CK and she'll say, so what is this podcast that Brother Coffee has? And then Becky with a CK will have to do the emotional labor. So.
I know, that sucks.
But that's how it rolls in our, in my family of origin, only women do emotional labor.
So...
and also labor.
And dishes.
Physical labor.
Yeah.
Men don't do either.
Right. So both you and Becky with a CK have said in the past, if Mama Coco ever found out about this podcast, it might kill her. And you guys weren't kidding, really, when you said it. So
I mean, here's the thing. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do with it. But I just think, like, if she finds it and if she listens, she will be desperately, desperately hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just kind of think, like, I mean, not that I'm trying to hurt my mother.
Sure.
But I also just think, like, I mean, get over yourself.
Like, there we go.
You know,
she's
you know
the
what
one
I mean?
In the cult. Like, she's the one.
Oh,
in the cult.
I just, yeah, we yeah. don't, yeah.
We don't cater
to I just
to
can't
them.
Feel bad for people who like build this tiny little world that's so difficult for them to exist in and then get so upset when they have to exist in it. I'm like, build a different world then. Don't exist in this world.
Yes.
This world you live in is stupid. So make a new one.
Uh-huh. Ding, ding, you know? Ding. Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary Jo.
Okay. Another hap I have is that CJane came to visit me for 3 nights.
Yes.
And the purpose of it, although we did things other than this, was for right. her to guide me through my first real mushroom journey.
Right.
And should I even say it, do a Patreon post and talk about what it was like. But it was literally a magical experience. And in no small part due to the fact that I had CJane there to
right.
really take care of me.
Yeah. She's a lover and a carer.
Oh my God. And from like, you know, giving me some touch and rubbing my leg when I had my first breakdown of the journey,
yeah.
feeding me. And oh my God, food has never tasted so good in the 48 years of my life. and just checking in with me. Oh my God. And then when I came out of it, I fell asleep. I could feel myself kind of coming out of I fell asleep and she woke me up at 7 o'clock. I took the stuff at like 1:40.
7 o'clock PM.
PM. I took the stuff at 1:45. And so she wakes me up at 7 o'clock. And she says, "Hey, do you want some dinner?" Oh, I know. And she
She
had it ready for me and brought it to me. And then we just unpacked it and talked. And and I'm going to be having like downloads about this journey for weeks and months to come.
Right. The next at least like 8 to 12 business weeks for sure.
Yes. Yeah. I trying anything new. Of course I was a little nervous, but yeah. I am 1000% grateful for the experience.
I don't know if you listened to my Marco Polo response to you telling this on Marco Polo. But like so many times, and I won't get into any specifics, but so many times when people have talked to me about doing mushrooms or MDMA or, you know, ketamine or whatever, all of these, you know, psychedelics or whatever we call them. They're like, it was so amazing. I threw up for 12 hours straight because I had some real negative energy I needed to purge from my body. And I like, you know, it was so amazing. You know, couldn't shit and I had to shit so bad and I just needed to shit, but I couldn't. It was so great. I threw up and wet myself at the same time. Like people always, and I'm like, this sounds awful.
Yeah.
And yours is the first time that and like when I've talked to CJane before about her, CJane, I mean, let's just air all of her laundry. CJane really uses these things medicinally and kind of goes in.
Oh, yeah.
With the intention of sort of doing some work or healing something.
Very purposeful.
So even hers, which she doesn't say, like, I threw up for 12 hours. Like, she's going in to, like, do some heavy lifting, you know, and do some, like, trauma work.
Shadow work.
And so I've just always thought, like, this doesn't sound fun at all. But yours sounded lovely.
It was lovely. And, you know, I think, you know, because of the nature of the relationship we have with CJane, she feels safe to unpack all the shit that she does with us. And so I think that's why we hear that. But she also says that it is her jam. Like this is the plant medicine for her.
Right.
And I see what she means. And I would love it if one day you could see what she means too.
I can't wait. For legal reasons, this whole section has been a joke.
Been it's fake. Not, we're talking about real. Dark chocolate, actually.
It's pretend. Yep. yeah, it just sounded lovely. So
yeah. Thanks for listening to the poll. Well, thanks for asking about how it went. First of all, I was going totally to tell you, but that you wanted to know meant a lot to me.
And I was super curious because you and I both have not crossed into this realm much. And we're like the only people I know who have not.
In our social circles, yeah.
Yeah, and I think part of it is you had tried it before, but because of the SSRIs you take, it wasn't successful. And
right.
And I also take, like, I don't know, 17 or 18 SSRIs.
Yeah, and...
So I just felt like, oh, this isn't for me.
And
you know?
CJane really loaded me up. And maybe I said this last week, but... And when I say last week, I really mean it. That's wild. But I have a friend who does somatic therapy with mushrooms, incorporates mushrooms in their therapy. And they told me that you'd have to eat your body weight in mushrooms for it to be toxic for you. So
there you go.
So I wasn't afraid for CJane to really load me up with a hefty dose. And it was the right call. It wasn't too much. I had a beautiful first mushroom journey experience.
I love it.
Yeah.
It sounds so great.
Any other haps?
Nope. Let's talk about season 8.
All right, go.
Okay, so you didn't know this was season 8 when we until I texted you like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is why. So we were like, okay, we need to find something different. That's not a top five. We can't do those every week. And so then I said, oh, let's do this thing about Mormonism. And you were like,
I would rather like eat a live skunk.
My body keeps the score. I don't know if I can. And I was like, okay, well, let's do this one. This is last week's episode. So we did it. And I think both of us were kind of like, was that terrible? Like, it wasn't very funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, like, it just felt, we just didn't know. It just felt off or something anyway.
And then we heard from our producer.
C. Jane, who's our producer.
Honorary.
And we said to C. Jane, we talk about her so much on this podcast, it's embarrassing. But... like, basically what you all don't understand is we record this podcast for C. Jane to like it and to like us. So
it's how
if
we keep
she
her
thinks
around.
It's funny, we're golden. Yeah. If she had a good time, we're like, we're geniuses. You know, like, we're just trying to make her happy. So
we'll get other messages like, great episode from gentle listeners. And
right. Like, and we love that. We love that.
Yeah,
but when C. Jane texts us and is like, this part was so funny, we're like, first of all, I don't remember saying that. And second of all, oh my God, thank you.
Because she's a picky bitch.
Yeah, she is. So anyway, so C. Jane's feedback was basically like, no, this is what you do. Like, this is what you started the podcast to do.
Referring,
which is true.
Referring to last week's episode where we talked about Jeffrey R. Holland and Sister Death.
Yeah, because here's the thing, gentle listeners. I mean, I think you all know this because you're gentle listeners, but there are a lot of post-mo or ex-mo podcasts out there or Instagram pages or whatever.
Or, yeah, TikTok.
You know, there's a lot of kind of post-mo and ex-mo content out there. And for the most part...
I call it ex-mo talk.
Ex-mo talk. Like TikTok?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And for the most part, they either treat it with... They're either very serious and very... kind of scholarly and academic about it,
mm-hmm.
or they're very indignant and angry. And we certainly support anger and, you know, we're certainly there.
And we support dry facts.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, no one out there is like kind of poking fun at it and being like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Right.
These people are idiots.
Which is C. Jane's point.
Right. So when she said that, I was like, yeah, that is like, that's why we started this. That's our wheelhouse. And not to say that every episode is going to be all about Mormonism. We're still going to do top fives, but we just feel like, I think we had kind of intentionally moved away from Mormonism a little bit for our own like mental health.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And I think now we recognize that like, that's our sweet spot.
Yeah. And
how do you feel about this? Because I know I don't want to just unilaterally make decisions for the podcast. Because of course we haven't talked about this offline. We're just discussing it now.
So when C. Jane said what she said to us about last week's episode, I knew she was right. I mean, yeah. there wasn't any part of me that was like, I don't agree.
Yeah.
There is a need for people like us to just really disparage the shit out of this institution.
Right. People need a place for their anger and their disdain and their disgust at Mormonism.
And all while laughing at fuck the holes in Jesus's hands.
Right, exactly.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And so I sat with that and I was like, no, she's right. So let me try to wrap my head around doing this more regularly, these kinds of episodes. And today I was listening to the Mormon stories that two of our friends were on, and it was great. It was great and an important episode, but no one was cracking jokes.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what we do. And that's why we should do this.
Right. If we had been on that episode, it was with our friend Madame Bandit and then another friend. And it was an episode about feminism, right? And, feminism in the church and patriarchy. And
right. Anyway. Because of Sister Dennis's talk. Yeah.
Right. And I have not listened yet, but I've heard great things. So I definitely need to go listen. But we need someone in that talk to call Sister Dennis a dirty cunt. You know what I mean?
Yes, that's what.
And there's not always space for that in other forums, which is fine.
Right.
Like those forums also should exist. And there should be places to have really serious, emotional, honest conversations.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But there also should be places where we make fun of, you know, Brad Wilcox's wife asking him to take off his garment bottoms so they can have sex. You know what I mean?
Or J. Annette Dennis's labia and what they might look like.
We need all of these. We're
going to
be sued for defamation of character.
Great.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've listened to this podcast before, but There's not really a plan most of the time. So we're saying all this now, but who knows what the hell will happen next
right,
week.
Right, right.
But I just felt like we needed to get back to our roots a little bit more, you know, and just talk about, and just like, just, oh, and this is the other thing I wanted to say. So again, C. Jane, who we talk about too much, had this really, really brilliant Instagram post today. And it was basically about this idea that, like, the idea of the kind of nuclear family, you know, mom, dad, and 2.5 kids,
uh-huh.
was really an idea that was invented and was built by patriarchy.
Right.
You know, it's a system that keeps women and children oppressed, where there's this head of the household, and that really, deep down inside, like, our roots as individuals is, like, growing up in, like, a village and, like, a community and, like, with aunties and uncles and cousins and, you know what I mean, just this, with this village surrounding us. Uh-huh. And she wrote this really brilliant thing about how, you know, a lot of us leave a high demand religion like Mormonism and we immediately substitute it with some other new version of that, where we're spending money and we're going to conferences and uh-huh. we're uh-huh. going to therapy and we're, you know, we're like, it, like, we're still using the tools of patriarchy and capitalism to try to fix what's broken inside of us.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And not to say that there is not value in those things, because, like, I have had an incredible experience in therapy and I think there is so much work that can be done in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, every week after my therapy session, I send a polo to you and C. Jane, and I send a polo to my friend Lindsay,
mm-hmm.
and I just talk about what I talked about in therapy.
You unpack it with us.
And then you respond, and then I, oh, that's, you know, then we have a conversation about it.
Uh-huh.
And I just, and basically C. Jane's point was like, yes, you, let's use those moments of healing, whether it's mushrooms, whether it's therapy, EMDR, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But, like, really the way we heal is when we surround ourselves in a community and we let the community help us figure all this out.
Yes.
And heal.
Yes. People.
And so.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, people we feel safe with, people who will give us feedback, people who will
right.
just sit and listen when we need that. But,
yep.
but, all, and all the things that comes with community, with people that you trust.
And that's what, and like, that's what Hot Drinks is and was when it started. You know, it was this community of people who were leaving Mormonism,
mm-hmm.
who were angry and hurt and, you know, didn't know where to take that anger and that, you know, that hurt too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I want to get back a little bit. I mean, and again, not that every episode is going to be about Mormonism and not that we're ever going to follow a plan, but I just love that idea of community and of, like, of us banding together and saying we were all brainwashed
right.
in this fucking shit show.
Yep. Yeah.
And, like, it still is vibrant and around us and alive. And, like, we cannot even believe these people in our lives are so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That they take Droopy Dog Holland seriously, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, we're getting back to our ruts.
That's it. That's the point.
So
season 8.
Season 8. Here we go.
Okay. We gonna take a break?
Let's take a break. I wanna intro what we're gonna talk about.
Okay.
Cause we just after last week we just thought we need a really fun, lighthearted, funny episode.
Guess
so
what
we're
that
gonna talk
means.
About the trans community.
Yes.
And the violent attacks happening to them.
Yeah.
And what we can do to show up and be better allies and supports.
Yep.
So when I said funny, that was a joke.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be funny.
Yeah.
It's going to be real fucked up and serious.
We all knew.
But I do want to say this idea came from a gentle listener because I had posted something. And I'll get into this more, but there was a trans man in Utah that was killed. And I had posted something about it. And one of our gentle listeners, longtime gentle listener, she gave me delicious bourbon once, said, maybe you should do an episode about this because I think a lot of us don't know how to help or how to react or how, like, we don't know what's helpful.
Yeah.
And I don't think you and I would ever say that we're, like, experts on what's helpful, but, like, you have a trans child.
Right.
Like, we, you know, we have been connected to and,
many trans friends
involved in this community for a long time. So,
yeah.
as two cis people, we're going to do our best to talk about like things that we try to do to help.
Yeah.
And all that stuff.
Yeah. So. I did, for what it's worth, I did ask my transgender son if he'd like to be a part of the episode because, like you said, right. We're two cis people. But he's just too busy right now.
Yeah. Well, and also like, I mean, obviously I would love to have him on because he speaks so eloquently about these things, but I also just think like, it's kind of like in the work of unpacking racism, like we as white people have to like do some heavy lifting, like in the work of unpacking transphobia, like us cis people got to get our shit together and got to like,
yeah,
you know, got to figure this out and figure out how to stand up for these amazing people.
Yeah.
And so we're here as cis people to other cis people and trans. I know we have some trans listeners, but uh-huh. You know, so we're approaching this with integrity and honesty and vulnerability, and hopefully we don't say things wrong, and if we do, like, please correct us and,
please do, yeah,
you know, we want to draw a little attention to this, because when you're so wrapped up in this community, it's very easy to think that everybody understands it as intimately as maybe you do, for example, and I think a lot of people don't because they just don't interact with this community that much. So anyway, yep. we just want to offer our take
and to offer some basic information too. Right. You, a lot of you might know it, but even I need to be refreshed. That's why I was taking so long taking notes before this episode, because I wanted to make sure I was getting it right.
Yeah.
Even though I've been on this journey with Jack for 6 years.
Yeah.
6 years?
Yes! We've been friends that long?
We've been friends a lot longer than that, Boo.
That's true. We actually have been friends for like 25 years. But
yeah. Yep. New Year's
anyway,
Eve of 27.
So it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
A laugh a minute. But yeah, let's take a little break.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. We don't have to sing.
Let's not.
Oh, hello, gentle listener.
Welcome to Hot Drinks before...
I'm fucking drunk.
God damn it. Hot, 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 hot.
Hot drinks.
Hot, 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 hot.
Hot drinks.
So I'm already drunk.
Like and subscribe.
Yo.
Yo. Yo.
Adrian.
Yo. So I, when I'm saving the segments, I give them a name. And as I was like waiting for this segment to process and name it, I was looking back on, you know, I can see like previous segment names from like previous episodes. And there's one from last week called, that I called something like, we got to cut out this bit about Elizabeth Taylor. Because remember?
Yes, I do.
How the Mormon PR team was like, okay, shooting gay people, great, great. Getting out muskets to fire back at people, great, great. This fake misattributed Elizabeth Taylor quote, we got to cut it. We got to cut. We got to have standards here, BYU. Anyway.
Anyway, indeed. Okay.
So we're back.
So how do we want to start this?
Well, if you look at the show flow notes that I sent you.
Well, I mean, I did.
Okay. Well, okay. So I want to talk about, so I kind of already mentioned like why we, where this idea came from talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to briefly just kind of talk about a couple of things that have happened recently in the trans community and why we feel so strongly that talking about this kind of this issue is important. So mm-hmm. A few months ago in Oklahoma.
Yeah. It was,
I can't believe I didn't write that down.
It was a town just outside of Tulsa where I went to high school.
Oh, really? Okay. So, yeah.
So this was in late January, early February.
And I want to preface this by saying we're going to talk about some sort of hate crimes directed at queer people. So if you don't want to hear that, skip ahead.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to keep it relatively brief and, you know, kind of move through it. But the trans community experiences violence at an exponentially higher rate than any other community.
Uh-huh.
And particularly trans women, and particularly trans women of color,
oh, yeah,
are murdered at an insanely high rate.
Mm-hmm.
The two stories that I want to talk about today are both about trans men. But just two things that have just really, I think, because they're about like younger people, like kids, like have really stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
So in Oklahoma, there was a trans man named Next Benedict. He used he, him, or they, them pronouns, was a high school student, had kind of been bullied for like more than a year. There was some sort of altercation in the bathroom at the school, you know, some sort of name. We don't know exactly what happened.
Right.
But there are reports that Nex was pushed down and that his head was slammed into the ground.
Multiple times.
The school did not call an ambulance or call for help of any kind,
mm-hmm.
But did sort of recommend to Nex's guardian that maybe they should take him to a hospital to get checked out, which they did. There's body cam footage from the hospital from a police officer who went to visit, who discouraged Nex and his, I'm saying guardian because it's some articles said it was his mother, some articles said it was his grandmother, so I'm not entirely sure. So
yeah,
but basically a police officer came to the school or came to the hospital to get a statement, and basically on body cam footage discouraged Nex and his guardian from pressing charges against these girls that had attacked Nex.
Do you know in what way, like what this police officer said exactly?
Like he basically said, if you press charges against them, you open yourself. Because it sounds like it wasn't like Nex just got jumped and attacked. Like it sounds like it was some sort of altercation between the two of them.
Uh-huh.
So basically the officer was saying, if you press charges against them, then they could also press charges against you. And then you're opening yourself up to like legal, you know, liability or whatever.
Okay.
So I would recommend against it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
Nex went home from the hospital and then died the next day, collapsed and died.
Mm-hmm.
Nex's death was ruled a suicide, which, like, I don't know the ins and outs, obviously. Like, I don't know if there was evidence that pointed to the fact that it was a suicide, but even if it was a suicide, like, this is someone who was beaten the day before.
Right. It's just as tragic.
It's just as tragic. And then recently was announced that no charges would be filed against the people involved in this altercation.
Yep. I think that was yesterday.
Yeah. So basically like Nex died and everyone's like, okay, cool. You know, like
that's how it
no
feels.
Consequences, nothing.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then the other one happened, like is literally happening like in the last few weeks here in Utah. There was a trans man named Alex Franco. He was 21. He was last seen getting into a Jeep with, there were three people in the Jeep. I think we know who two of them are. The other one, they still haven't figured out. But there is some evidence that maybe these were people he knew and that he got into the Jeep willingly. There were then gunshots, the sound of gunshots, and the Jeep sped off. And then, like last week, I think Alex's body was found like in the desert outside of like Lehi, Utah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was killed. I think two kids were arrested, like a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, I believe. And then there's still kind of a third party that they're still trying to figure out who was involved. Anyway, and it has been, the article that I read, the sheriff or whoever said, we don't know if this was a hate crime. Which I was like, okay. So anyway, these two awful tragedies. And we right now in Utah and in a lot of states around the country, but in Utah, over the last 6 months, year, there have been multiple laws. Well, at least two laws passed kind of targeting trans people.
Mm-hmm.
And just I don't want to get into it too much because it's boring legal stuff, but basically we signed a law into place that regulates how people can use bathrooms or locker rooms in public school or government-owned buildings, that they have to use one based on their sex assigned at birth. And then it's like, and it says like, under the legislation, transgender people can defend themselves against complaints by proving they've had gender affirming surgery and changed their sex on their birth certificate. So if someone like accuses you of breaking this law, you can be like, no, wait, I had gender assigning gender affirming surgery. And then you can like get the charges dismissed or something. But first of all, like, are we like checking genitals? Like, what are we doing?
Right.
To, you know, and second of all, a lot of trans people don't ever have any kind of surgery, and a lot of states don't allow people to change their birth certificate, so there could be people that are have not been able to do that, you know.
Precisely.
And then previously in the state of Utah, earlier this year or end of last year or end of beginning anyway last year, there was a law passed, the governor vetoed it, and then the legislature overrode it, because that's how Utah politics work, is the legislature runs rampant and does whatever they want.
Yeah.
But basically, like, forbids trans athletes from competing in high school or collegiate sports.
Right.
There is apparently, like, a committee in place that you can, like, appeal to if you're a trans athlete, and that was something that they built into the law because they knew that it might be contested in court. And so basically this, once it was contested in court, because I think it's now been overturned by the courts, but that sort of kicked this committee into place. So basically you have to like go before a committee and like prove that you're actually a woman or something before you compete, which is like so problematic on so many levels. And there were a lot of other facts that kind of came out during this case that like, in the entire state of Utah, there was something like 4 trans athletes, like 1 or 2 of which would have been graduated before the law ever went into effect. So like this huge legislative capital being spent on policing these trans people. And it's like 2 kids, you know what I mean, that they're targeting.
Yeah.
And then it came out recently, and this happened at my child's school, that there was a girl competing in sports and she beat 2 other girls, and the parents of those 2 girls that got beat, I don't even know what sport it was in, but basically like complained and said, she might be trans,
right?
Because like she played like,
yeah,
that was some next level stuff. So the high school activities committee secretly did not tell the girl's parents, did not tell the school, but secretly like investigated this girl to figure out if she was trans.
Oh my God.
And basically went back and looked at all of her transcripts and saw like, oh, even in kindergarten, she was registered as a girl to come to school. But like, anyway, this is why these things are so problematic, because like they hurt all women, not just trans women.
Yes.
Because as soon as someone says, oh, you're too tall, you're too muscular, you're,
yeah,
you know, whatever, then suddenly you're under investigation. Anyway.
Yeah.
So this is the political environment we're living here in Utah, where,
yeah,
where trans people are seen as like suspicious and scary, and they're trying to deceive us so they can win at high school sports, you know. And this leads to these things where people feel like trans people are a threat, and so they feel like they're justified in taking actions to keep themselves safe.
Yeah.
And then people get hurt.
Yeah.
And then on top of all of that, on top of all the political brouhaha, we live in a Mormon state.
Yeah.
Where every Mormon household has a proclamation of the family hanging on their wall,
which says
that says so many problematic things. I'm not even going to get into what it says about like marriage. That's a whole other Oprah. But it says gender is an essential characteristic of individuals' premortal, mortal, and eternal identity and purpose. First of all, gender is a social construct.
Ding, ding, ding.
Gender is a personality type. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if I said to you, Sister Twain, describe to me the stereotypical ideas of like what it means to be a man, what would you say?
Stereotypical. You're dumb. you're big and tough.
Right.
You're larger than women. You have low voices. You can grow beards. Is this what you're looking for?
Yeah. These are all just personality traits. You know what I mean? Like
right.
These are like there's nothing eternal about that. Like, these are all societally built ideas about what a man is supposed to be or what a man is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's a
Yep.
personality.
Right.
So to try to pretend that it's some eternally ordained, like,
Yeah.
anyway.
I know.
So just to clarify really quickly, again, we're going to get into some real basic stuff here, but like, there is sex and then there is gender, and those are entirely different things.
Yes. So,
Sex is a biological measure, but even within sex, it's not as simple as male female, because there are people that are born intersex, people that are born with multiple chromosomes, people that are born with external genitalia of one gender, but chromosomes that don't match that. So sex is a biological thing. Gender is the way we interact with the world and the way we're told that we fit into the world of being a man or a woman. And it's all made up. It's
Right.
all fucking pretend.
Yeah.
Like, in the, you know, in the, like, men used to wear wigs and makeup and cod pieces and high heels, and
Yeah.
that was manly. You know what I mean? And
Right.
now they don't, and those things would be seen as feminine. But it's all made up. It's all bullshit that's made up.
I was explaining to a classmate of mine who spent most of her life living in rural Missouri
Right.
and is very
And as a
Christian.
Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That my son, Jack, who is transgender, who has a beard and hairline is receding, which he could not be more happy about because it's so
Oh, really?
affirming. Yeah.
That's so
I
sweet.
know. But I was like, but for his whole life, pre-transition, pre-coming out to me, he was very what you would call girly. And
Yeah.
she was so confused. I was like, yeah, love to wear makeup, love to
Right.
dress up, the princess dresses, da da da
Right.
da da.
And also, didn't, like, recently, hasn't Jack been experimenting a little bit with sort of like gender bending in the way he dresses and things,
And
with wearing skirts or dresses,
and
or
that's what I'm getting to, that
yeah.
even though Jack identifies as a man.
And fought for that, like, had to vocal, like, had to
Yeah.
fight and like stand in the arena and say, I am a man,
Yeah.
you know, like, despite what the world says about him.
Yeah, he still will periodically wear a skirt, a dress, and or makeup.
Because that's all made
Because
up,
it's all made up. For
chick.
his high school graduation, he wore a dress.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
With his beard and his
it, right?
receding hairline.
Yes. And my friend looked at me so confused, and I was like, well, let's take our friend. We'll just call him James. He's one of our cohort, and he's a gay man. He is cisgender. I have
Right.
asked what pronouns he uses. And he still, when we'll go out to a group dinner, he has on glittering makeup on his cheeks and his forehead and is wearing
Right.
a tinted gloss.
Right.
And I was like, and when he doesn't have a drag show, because he's not actively performing right now, but when he has, even though he's not actively performing, when he has a day off from class, he'll do a look for the day.
And you know what? I bet he looks amazing.
He really does.
Yeah.
So,
Oh.
yes. And so, we can segue into like just the basic informative stuff now if you want.
Yeah,
I
and in
didn't
fact,
check
I
the
was going to
flow.
say, because we've used this term several times, so cisgender versus transgender. Cis is a Latin prefix that means on the side of, and trans is a Latin prefix that means on the other side of, I think. So basically, cisgender means your gender identity aligns with, is on the same side as the gender identity you were assigned at birth. Whereas a
Right.
transgender identity means that your gender identity is on another side from the gender you were assigned at birth. So.
Yeah. Which is so interesting because, you know, what we were just talking about, just because you have a vagina doesn't mean that is synonymous with being female, according to what we just said.
Yeah.
But we just, it's like we're just doing the best with what we got. You know what
What?
I mean? Because in Native American and other indigenous communities, they recognize multiple genders.
Yeah.
So, but
And if you're, what's the lady that gave the Relief Society talk?
J. Annette Danis.
Because she's a woman, but she's not, I don't, she's not presenting real femme to me. You know what I
Nope,
mean?
not at all.
So she maybe I assume has a vulva. It's none of my business.
Yeah.
But she's not wearing makeup.
Right. Yeah.
She's not wearing cute dresses.
Yeah.
She is talking in a panicked. what's the word you used last week? Like an intense but terrified.
Firm and gentle but in distress.
Yeah. Any whatever it was, and you did a great job of imitating it.
Thank
by
you.
The way.
But so kind of what I think, if we want to, you know, if we want to get into the nitty gritty of the language, what do you call that? What science of language? Anyway.
Entomology? Linguistics?
Maybe. Okay. You know, cisgender would mean that most people who are born with a vagina identify with the female construct, which is a little confusing, right? Because we're not born with constructs. So I think what cisgender means for all intents and purposes here is that you identify in a binary.
Okay.
You identify in either the box of man or the box of woman or the box of male or the box of female. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more.
Okay. Can I ask you some questions?
Oh, for sure.
When I say a transgender man, what do I mean? What are they really?
A transgender man is someone who was born with a vagina and a vulva and not a penis.
Or was assigned female gender at birth.
Or, right, because that happens with intersex people, which I'm also going to talk about. So they don't have the body parts, the genitalia of a man, but they identify as a man.
Right.
Doesn't that sound so simple and easy?
So to be clear, they are a man. A transgender man is a man.
A transgender man is a man.
They were possibly assigned a female gender at birth, but they are actually a man.
Right.
So we want to be careful about using language like, what gender are they really?
Yeah.
What gender did they used to be? Because they've always been a man.
Right. Right.
But there was a time in their life where they were identified as female because of, you know, capitalism and patriarchy, probably.
And even saying, oh, so that means, so you're saying that man has a vagina? That is even a bridge too far.
No, like, it's none of your business.
You don't talk to people about their genitalia unless you're me.
That's real. That's real. By the way, I texted C. Jane while you were on your trip, and she said she's just coming out of it. Because I was like, I know, Sister Twain is on a journey right now. But I came out of the podcast closet. One of my coworkers texted me out of nowhere and said, why did Sister Twain have to tell us her vagina was itchy? And I texted C. Jane and told her that. She said, she's just coming out of the trip. I will let her know. I think it will be important. So you talk about your vagina being itchy.
Because I'm over the top.
Because you don't have a filter. But would it be appropriate for me to walk up to a woman, a person who appeared to be female, and say, do you have an itchy vagina? It would not be appropriate.
No, it would not.
That's why it's also not appropriate to ask questions of trans people about the genitals they had at birth, if they still have those genitals, if they've had surgery, if they've,
You don't even need to ask them, oh, so what bathroom do you use? All you need to do is know that that trans man is a man or that trans woman is a woman.
Right.
That's all. And it doesn't matter if it's confusing for you because it's not about you.
It's not fucking about you, Sister Dennis. It's not about you.
Uh-huh.
It's like you would not meet someone at a bar. Like, let's say you're at a bar and you're having drinks and someone comes up and they start talking to you. You would not say to them, do you have a penis?
Yeah, you wouldn't do it.
No, that would be inappropriate.
Yeah, it's none of your fucking business.
And so it's also inappropriate to say that about trans
people. Now, if I went up to a guy and I was drunk and I said, did you know I have a vagina? That's different.
Right, and you probably would and probably have done that.
Something akin to that, yes.
Something akin to that.
Do you have another question for me?
You have said something like, I have a real tight vagina. It's tighter than my butthole to some guy in a bar. And he's like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. Okay, so my next question. So, okay, I wanted to get that out there. What's all this with pronouns? They, them, he, they?
Right.
What's it all mean, Sister
Well,
Twain? Those words don't make sense to me.
in order for that to make sense to you, we kind of got to get in the weeds a little bit.
Let's go.
So, first off, I want to say that an individual gets to decide the terminology that's right for them.
What if that makes me feel weird?
Then that is your issue, and it's not about you. So
What
you
if I believe in truth? Because that's another thing that the right wingers love to say.
and what truth would that be?
Right.
Yeah,
Okay. So,
that's
okay.
what I have to
Well,
say to
all right. Well, my Fox News show is canceled. What?
that.
Okay.
So an individual gets to decide their terminology,
Right.
and no one has any business saying, I don't think you're blah, or maybe you're just blah, confused, it's a fad, or maybe, it's not okay for you to say to your son who comes out as trans or daughter who comes out as trans to say, maybe you're just non-binary. You don't get to do that.
No.
A health professional gets to do that.
Right.
And even then, it's tenuous. It depends on the situation. So it is kind of a lot to keep up with because the language is always evolving.
Right.
But you were the one that gets to decide what pronouns, what name.
Can I give two quick examples?
Yes.
So if I'm talking to you and I say, oh, I'm picking up my friend from the airport later, and you want to know what time I'm doing that, what would you say to me? Like, what would you ask about when the flight
What
arrives?
time are you picking them up?
Picking them up, which
Yeah.
is a gender neutral, because we love to say, like, oh, we don't use they, them that way in the English language. We absolutely do every day. Like, if you
Yeah.
don't know the gender of someone, you say, like, oh, what time do they get here?
Yeah.
What time is their appointment? When is
Right.
their reservation?
Oh,
Like,
someone left their cell phone.
yeah. So
Yes.
we do have a singular gender neutral term in the English language, and we use it all the time without problem.
Right.
And the second thing I want to share is if you walk up to someone and you say, oh my God, your dog is so beautiful. I love her. And they say, oh, it's a he. You go, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He is so beautiful. Like, you immediately correct yourself
Immediately, and you move on.
for their
Yeah.
dog, for their
Yeah.
goddamn dog.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So I kind of want to go into for people to understand pronouns, they need to understand the difference between transgender and non-binary.
Okay, here we go. Woo!
So, okay. So, as we said, a transgender person is someone who does not identify in their heart, mind, personality, identity with the female, with the sex organs they were born with. So,
Right, with the gender they were assigned at birth.
right, that we've got that.
Yes.
Now, the transgender people need to have you use the correct language. The words people use to describe themselves, your comfort about it is irrelevant.
Yeah, we don't care. We don't care, Sister Dennis.
Right. And terms that they use for themselves, their pronouns, and maybe even name can change over time, and
Right.
that is okay.
Right.
Someone with good intentions can still cause pain and embarrassment if you misgender or use the wrong name or dead name them. And I'll explain what that means. But you just apologize and do better.
Right.
And so misgendering is when you use the wrong pronouns.
Right.
Dead naming is when you use their previous name or the name their parents gave them when they were born.
Right, because a lot of, not all, but a lot of transgender people, when they come out as transgender or start transitioning, will choose choose a name that feels more affirming to the gender that they exactly. identify with. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And it's called dead naming for a reason. It's called that so that you don't think it's okay to say it sometimes.
Yeah. Or to ask, like, what was your name before?
Right. Right.
Yeah. If someone wants to share that, they will, but you should not ask that.
Right. And then non-binary folks, F-O-L-X, they don't fit neatly in a male / man or woman / female binary. They don't right. fit into a category, one of those right. two categories. Some feel that their gender blends both of those elements.
Right.
Some don't identify with any gender whatsoever. And then some non-binary people will feel changes in that over time, which is
yeah.
okay.
Right.
Something I wrote in my notes in caps is gender is perceived.
Yeah.
It's both
perceived by us as the person perceiving it and perceived by the world.
Yes.
So it's fine if one day you feel like your gender feels more quote unquote masculine or whatever, and then the next day you're like, oh no, I don't feel that way anymore. It doesn't matter.
It does not matter. It does not matter.
This whole conversation is kind of exhausting. because really the whole root of it is just like listen to people and like do what makes them feel comfortable, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And get the fuck over yourselves.
It's just that simple. I wish. Okay. There are other terms like gender queer, agender, bigender, and gender fluid. And there are other terms as well. They don't all necessarily mean the same thing, but they all speak to an experience of gender being neither simply male nor female.
But like, again, just let the people be what the people want to be. If someone right. identifies as agender or genderqueer, great.
Right.
Cool. I don't, like, I still have to pay my credit card bill. Right. Tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And non-binary people, this is important for me to say, they're not confused.
No.
And it's also not a fad, but side note, if it was a fad for them, who fucking cares?
Right.
None of your business.
It's like sometimes kids are goth in high school.
Yeah.
And then they grow up and they become a banker.
Yeah.
And we don't go, but you were goth. Do you remember? you were goth. You wore dark eyeshadow. We just go, oh, cool. You're a banker now. Great. Wonderful.
Right. Right. It's not like you see them in 15 years and go, gosh, you used to wear all black and you bring it up every 30 minutes.
Reminds me of when I used to be social and enter the world, I was at a bar and I ran into a former coworker of mine and I was like, you used to be so Mormon. And she goes, yes, so did you. And I was like, okay, fair point. Like, we all change throughout our lives. Like sometimes we're so Mormon, sometimes we're a gay dude in a bar, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And we all want the other people in the bar to say, hey, gay dude in a bar, I see you there. We don't want them to say, what's that former Mormon doing here? He used to be so Mormon. And that's fine.
Okay. Also, non-binary people aren't usually intersex, because those are two different things.
Right. So intersex just means
I've got it.
Okay, go.
But also I wanted to interject, but some intersex people can identify as non-binary because
right.
intersex people, intersex is a term that is used for a variety of situations, where a person is born with reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't fit the box of male or female.
Right.
And this is a naturally occurring variation. It isn't per se a medical problem.
Right.
It is a made up problem because gender is made up.
Right.
For example, if this intersex person looks like they could get by in the world as a male, the doctor will decide, well, your child is intersex, but is for all intents and purposes male.
Right. We're going to make them male. We're going to give them a male name. There might be,
Right.
you know, surgery involved where
Exactly.
parts are
Exactly.
removed or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Or situated. Now, intersex can be a variety of things. It could just mean that urethra is out of place. It could be as simple as that. But if you want to know more about that, you can look it up. It's estimated that about 10 to 20% of the U.S. population is born with an intersex situation.
And that's why, like, when conservative people, Mormon people, want to get on their high horse and say gender is eternal and gender is, you know, whatever, like, no, it's not.
Where does
like,
that leave people who are born 20%.
Intersex? That's a lot. That's a lot. Huge number of people. It's,
yeah. And you know
and
why?
The vast majority of them, what?
And you know why we're surprised about that number? Because people don't want to talk to you about their genitals.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. Like, the vast majority of these people walk around the world and live their life, and nobody has any idea that there's anything different about them.
Right.
You know, but like, we want to say, well, I believe in truth and I believe in eternal and I believe.
Right.
But like,
right.
These people have been amongst us and with us for all of human history. Most of the time we had no idea, you know?
Right. And a non-binary person who's born with, say, a gorgeous dick or a beautiful vulva, and but don't identify with one or the other or a blend of the two, they have also been around since the beginning of time and recognized in some cultures and societies way before we were.
Here's the thing, and I don't say this to be like pandering or whatever, but like, if you have the privilege of having trans people or non-binary people in your life, they are truly like really beautiful, magical souls.
They
you
really
know?
Fucking are. Yeah,
they are these people. Like, I'll be honest, when I first came out as gay, it was hard for me to identify with the trans community because I was like, oh, that's not me. Like, I'm very different from those people.
Uh-huh.
But then what I came to learn was, like, these are people for whom, like, I can, quote unquote, live my truth and be a gay man and walk down the street and, like, most people probably don't know, you know? I mean, I love to think my closet is made of, like, steel walls. But you know what I mean? Like, I could exist in a world where people don't know my sexuality and it doesn't matter. And I can internally be living my truth and nobody knows.
Yeah.
For so many trans people, if they want to live their truth, it has to be this very external thing. You know what I mean? Where they are putting themselves up for ridicule or for speculation or for questions or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, they're the vanguard of the queer community. Like, they're the people that have gone ahead and are forging the path for, like, the rest of us. And they're truly magical, beautiful people. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's so outward and put out there.
Right.
On that same note, though, a trans man does not owe you looking like a man.
Right.
A trans
or sounding
woman
like a man.
What's that?
Or sounding like a man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A trans woman does not owe you dressing girly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Again, it's all made up.
So I don't want to cut you off because I know you have a lot of good facts, but I do want to kind of get to, like, because we're, you know, running, we're moving up on time. I want to get to, like, so what do we do? What do us cis folks do? How do we... What kind of things can we do to support and to show up for the trans community? Is that, do you have other things you want to cover before we jump to that? Or
oh, no,
I don't want
fine.
To cut you off. Okay.
It's fine. One thing
basically
is,
I think, like, the long and the short of it is, like, just let people be who they fucking want to be and get over yourself. You
right.
know?
Yep. Yeah. And also, non-binary people don't owe you looking genderless.
Yeah.
There are some non-binary people that may love their tits. There are some non-binary people that don't love their tits and might have them removed, not because they all of a sudden identify as a trans man, but because it doesn't feel right in their non-binary identity. So
never mind, I'm not gonna say what I was about to say. You go ahead.
Okay. One thing you can do is, if you're not sure about someone's pronouns, ask.
Yeah,
it might feel awkward for you, But again, it's not about you.
Right.
And it's one of the simplest and most important ways to show them respect.
I feel so strongly about this, and I'm not great at it, but I think like the more that those of us whose pronouns seem quote unquote obvious share our pronouns, like I'm a tall, fat man with a beard. You know what I mean? Like no one is questioning my gender, but if I can take the time to say, my name is Brother Coffee and I use he, him pronouns, then that allows other people to share their pronouns without them being the only person who's sharing their pronouns. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
If someone doesn't want to share their pronouns, that's also okay too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know, I have a button that I wear that has she, her.
Which I've always loved about you. Like you just wear it like on a Tuesday. You know what I mean?
I do. Yes.
Like you're like, I would wear that if I'm going to the rally at the Capitol. You know what I mean?
Right. But I'd
be like, he, him, bitches. But you're just like
getting
going
gas
to Target on a Tuesday.
Absolutely.
Picking up, you know. And you're absolutely like, you have a pin on that says she, her, which I think is great.
Thank you. So another way that is really important to show up for the community is to know the right way to apologize when you misgender, because it will happen.
Okay. Tell us.
It most likely will happen. So first, you recognize that your mishap may have hurt them.
Right.
Because when you misgender or dead name, it brings up some really nasty emotions, okay? Don't beat yourself up.
Right.
But be aware.
Right.
That it does feel shitty when it happens. So acknowledge that. Apologize, correct yourself, use the right pronouns, move on.
Right.
When you make it a big deal or use excuses, it makes it about you.
Right.
And don't get defensive.
Right.
Because these genderqueer people are the ones who have to show up in the world every day and feel uncomfortable. So you feeling uncomfortable in that moment, who the fuck cares?
Well, so what you're saying is don't do the boomer mom thing of being like, well, I've always called you Cindy, so I'm so sorry that I can't get... No, mom, shut the fuck up. I'm sorry.
That is a fast track to that person cutting you out of their lives.
Yeah, just apologize. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Move on.
Yeah, and if you find yourself making the mistake often, pay attention to why that is.
Yeah.
Is it because when you're just thinking about that person and they're not around, you're not actively trying to think of them in their gender identity?
Right.
You know, is it because you're being lazy? Is it because you don't really believe it?
Is it because you're stupid? Maybe you're just stupid. Is it because you're Mormon? Could that be why?
That's part of it, yeah.
And you believe that gender is an eternal principle assigned by God on high?
It's an eternal truth.
It's just so funny because it's like God is in heaven and he's like, and lo, the boys shall wear blue and the girls shall wear pink.
Right. Oh, so it's such bullshit.
You don't care.
And I think that another way we can show up for them is to understand what the word dysphoria is and that it's different from the word dysmorphia.
Okay. Shit, here we go.
So this has always been kind of important to me. Dysmorphia. Okay, with an
gender N. Dysmorphia. Yeah.
No, not gender dysmorphia. Dysmorphia means you have a distorted body image. You have obsessions about your perceived physical shortcomings. So body dysmorphia could be as simple as I am so fat, and yet you might be the thinnest person in the room.
Right.
That's an example of that. Dysphoria with no M. So dysphoria is feelings of distress or despair that you feel as a result of having a gender identity that does not match important aspects of their body.
Okay.
Voice, chest, genitals.
Right.
And from how they're treated socially. So That's dysphoria. Dysphoria has to do with gender. Dysmorphia has to do with any old body seeing their body, perceiving their body incorrectly.
Okay. Thank you. That was helpful.
So another example of dysmorphia might be an amputee who still thinks he has his arm.
Right.
Right. So right. That has nothing to do with gender.
Okay. Okay.
All right. I think we're in a good spot here. I think we covered it all, did we?
We have solved transphobia.
And I knew we would if we just stopped doing those top fives. Now, we are going to keep doing top fives.
No, we for sure will. I do want to say, like, just as sort of an overall, like, trans women are women. Trans men are men.
Yeah.
And when we try to legislate trans women, for example, with these sports bans or, you know, whatever, we hurt all women. You know, we don't just hurt trans, quote unquote, trans women. You know, we, like, for example, that story I told where they were like investigating the girl because they thought maybe she was trans, like, we're infringing on the rights of all women, you know?
Yep.
When we try to police who's allowed to use a certain terminology, like trans women being women is not taking away from your womanhood. You know, they have certainly had their own experiences, just like everybody else has, you know, like they have suffered their own discriminations and their own challenges, and like them being women takes nothing away from your womanhood, and trans men being men takes, and it's what's so interesting to me is so many of the conversations about trans people are really about trans women, because we view women as like weak and that they need to be protected, and so we don't want all of these people who were born as men showing up and pretending to be women because that's going to hurt women. We almost never talk about trans men when we have these conversations about because in that sort of conservative mindset, like those trans men are really just women dressing up in men's clothes, and we're like, we don't really care because they're just, you know, like it's this disdain for womanhood that like we don't care how they show up or how they present in the world, because really at the end of the day they're just women.
But trans women
who were born as men or assigned male at birth, like we're terrified by, because women need to be protected and they're weak and these quote unquote men are going to show up and like mess them up. So anyway.
Yeah. I think it's important to note that you said on your story a couple of days ago that this violence with Nex, with Alex, and for the countless others that we never hear the names of.
Yeah.
Most of which are Black trans women.
Yeah.
It's direct result of legislation being passed empowering these hate crimes.
Right. And painting trans people as these like scary, spooky, threatening things, you know?
Right.
Here's the message that I want to leave everyone with. The Proclamation of the Family is a hate document. It is a hate crime.
That's what it is. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. This is our cult document.
It seems so innocent. Oh, it's just about, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, it is a hate document. It maligns queer and trans people in the first paragraph, you know, and says that the things that we want or believe in or know to be true about ourselves are false.
Right.
So my mission for all of you is, who can destroy a Proclamation of the Family this week? You know?
Oh, and
when you're at your mom's for Sunday dinner,
taking a piss on it.
Yeah, like you're at mom's for Sunday dinner this week, and it's hanging in the hallway with all the like wedding photos from the temple and whatever. Just take it down,
or get your lipstick out and draw cock and balls on it.
Well, because then mom's just gonna clean it up and like put it back up. I mean, you could also do that. That would be great. But I'm saying, take it down,
like
put
super
it in your trunk.
Yeah,
drive it to the middle of the salt flats. Light it on fire.
Light on fire.
Piss on it.
And then dance naked under the moon.
And then bury it in the salt.
Yes.
And then dig it up and put it through a shredder. And then take the pieces that went through the shredder and eat them.
Uh-huh.
Even though you, chew them up and then shit them out,
poop them out, yeah,
poop them out, and then take that poop and throw it on State Street.
On State Street. So they have to get back in their car with it?
I mean, yeah, like put it in a bag or something so it doesn't smell, but then throw it on State Street.
Oh, dear God. And, you know, to your earlier point about trans women threatening some women's womanhood and then ask yourself, why the fuck that would threaten your womanhood?
Yeah.
A trans woman existing does not threaten the fact that you have a vagina and a vulva and breasts.
Right.
And you showing up how you want to show up in the world. What the fuck is that even about?
That's really like, I just feel like that's the gist of modern politics, is it's like, oh, you don't believe in abortion? Great, don't have an abortion. I don't care.
Yeah.
But like, don't tell other people they can't, you know? Oh, you don't, you think that your womanhood is dependent on every woman around you having been born with a vagina? Okay, cool, great. You can think that, but just live your fucking life.
All right.
Anyway, if people, okay, what are we going to give? Okay, I don't want anyone to commit crimes, but what will we promise to gentle listeners who destroy a proclamation to the family this week?
Oh, I don't know. What would they want from us?
Well, probably nothing. But like, it's kind of like, you know, those jokes online where people are like, oh, when you're visiting your parents for the holidays, just like block Fox News on their TV. They'll never be able to figure it out.
Right.
Like, I want that same energy around the proclamation.
Around the proclamation. Yes.
It just seems so innocuous. Like, it's just such a part of Mormon culture. It's on everyone's walls. It's no big deal. People gift you a copy when you are, you know, when you get married. It's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. But like, that is a hate document.
Yep.
Oh. That is a hate document.
Straight up.
And we should not be standing by and just being cool with, like, people having that hanging on their walls. It's a Confederate flag on their wall. You know what I mean? It's a...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I want to make that comparison. But, you know, it's a document that supports hate speech hanging on someone's walls. Yeah. So I want you to steal it.
Steal it. Replace it with...
From your mother.
A picture of me and Brother Coffee.
Okay. Yes. And see if your mom notices.
Oh.
Anyway, well, thank you for joining me to solve transphobia. I'm so glad we fixed it.
We fixed it for forever. And then next week, let's do a top five.
About something really stupid. The top five places on Lee Pace's body that I want to press my tongue.
That man.
Do you know he just turned 45?
Oh.
And he, do you know what else? He's 6'5".
Ugh, amazing.
And I don't know if you, clearly you were not looking at my text today, because I've sent about 27 texts today about Lee Pace turning 45.
Oh.
But also he's 6'5".
I guess I missed it. Yeah, okay. And also, anyway, I'm never going to forget that. I promise.
That he's 6'5"?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, all right, we're done.
Well, season 8, it's a whole new world. We've tackled transphobia. Who knows what we'll tackle next week?
Lee Pace's 5 body parts.
Oh my god. Just as a reminder, if you want to support us, you can support our Patreon, hotdrinks.com/patreon. Wait, patreon.com/hotdrinks. I think I do that every week. You can buy our merch. The link is in our bio. You can get some cute, gentle listener t-shirts. Someone bought the Spit in My Mouth boxer briefs, and they did not send us a photo of it, which I'm a little sad about.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I get it. We all have our own body dysmorphia. Or buy some cute jewelry from us. By the way, did you send me those earrings yet you needed to send me?
No.
But you've made them.
Yes, they're made.
Okay.
I'll send them tomorrow.
Have you made anything else or just those?
We can talk about this at another juncture.
Chop chop. We gotta get making. Okay. Anyway, support us one of those ways. Or really just tell your friend. Tell your ex-mo friend and say, Hey, you know how John DeLynn is really analytical and kind of boring? Well, here are my friends who call Sister Durag. What's her name? Sister Dennis? Here's a podcast where she's called a cunt and they talk about fucking the holes in Jesus's hands. And your ex-more friend will say, "That's what I've needed."
That's what I needed. I'm so sick of John DeLynn. So dry.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, John DeLynn, you're welcome to come on the pod anytime
Oh, we'd
as
love
a
that.
guest.
Yeah.
We'd love that. Okay. All right. Well, that's all we got.
That's it. We're gonna say goodbye.
Okay. Make sure to get those earrings sent soon.